Good day, good people. I am Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live here on Crowdcast, and we invite all of the podcast and YouTube listeners to join us each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. That way you can become part of the conversation and dialogue that happens after our reflective time. Whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday was created as an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your soul, all of you, to really open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the human heart and consciousness. So thank you again for being here. Today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations, and each one of those is going to be followed by a moment of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest, to really see if something does resonate with you that even might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear, to give us a little bit of time to drop out of the head and into the heart to reflect with and meditate with the images and thoughts that we experienced. You can spend time journaling, prayer, movement. You can respond in all kinds of ways. Or just to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After that, we'll close with a spiritual practice. We like to share one with you each week, and then enter into a time of dialogue and conversation. Tonight's theme is on the edge of the inside. And you're invited here in Crowdcast, if you saw the opening video, is as we go through the evening, and if something connects with you from the opening video, you can type that little phrase into the chat section. With an open heart and your calm, centered presence, take a gentle breath, settle in, and let us begin. Friends, the biblical prophets were seers and seekers of eternal mystery. The Hebrew prophets lived on what we can call the edge of the inside. And we'll unpack that this evening. It offered the most opportunities to have fresh and honest experience and to find their true center. You see, the starting point for the biblical prophet is an amazing positive experience of theophany, one that really fills the heart with ecstasy, so much to the point that it has to be shared. And that one experience of the absolute becomes absolutizing, and that it has the effect of relativizing everything else. It even relativizes the institutions of religion, which actually received the prophet's most constant and continuous criticism. And we see this almost perfectly replicated in Yeshua. Yeshua is constantly critiquing religion and being fought by religion. And prophets, often like Yeshua, they're killed by the religious establishment. People hiding inside of belonging systems are very threatened by those who are not within that group. You see, they are threatened by anyone who has found their citizenship in places that can't be controlled. And Christians call this place the reign of God, the kingdom of God. And when one has found one's treasure elsewhere and is utterly grounded in the passion and the pathos of a transcendent God, then they are both indestructible and uncontrollable by worldly systems. So the prophet's truly authentic inner experience and membership allowed them to utterly critique the exact systems of which they were a part. Their enlightened actions clarify what our mere belief systems really mean. And prophets, they're unique in their role as inside-outside individuals. They're existing on the edge of established structures. Of course, back then within Israel. They didn't really hold conventional institutional roles, which allowed them to offer a distinct perspective. And in the corporate world, you see, insiders often lose their ability to criticize because they become part of the system. The prophets recognized that, so they stayed on the edge of the inside. And friends, this phenomenon, it extends to various domains of life. We can only name a few now, but whether it's prayer groups or religious organizations. Now, on the other hand, there are those who remain as perpetual outsiders. They're critiquing but never participating. It's hard to create change from something that you never actually participate in. Now, striking a balance between being an insider and maintaining an outsider's perspective, as the prophets do, that's very rare. That kind of balance is really a gift of the Spirit. There are a select few prophets who manage to love their institutions deeply and then critique them from a place of profound affection. And the source of their prophetic words is gratuity for what they've received. It doesn't come from resentment or compulsion. And it's this contrast with cynical and bitter individuals who abound in religious settings. They're often lacking the creative equilibrium of the inside-outside perspective. For those of you that saw the opening video here on Crowdcast, you know that those lyrics about having deep roots, right? And being resilient. Yeah. But the church's historical tendency is to eliminate the non-conforming voices. If you've ever been a non-conforming voice inside of your church, you probably have felt this experience. Yeah. So what we need is the wisdom of prophets who can simultaneously love and critique, speaking words of correction, but from that grounded, that deep-rooted place of profound gratitude for what has been given. So in this set of reflections, we've explored a really powerful intersection of spirituality and social justice, recognizing the imperative need for penance and action in a world marked by strife and violence. So now let's quietly embrace a moment of silent meditation where we can resonate with these profound insights, reflect on their significance in our lives, and respond by finding the inner peace and the inspiration to rest in the embrace of our faith. So join in this moment of contemplation as we allow the wisdom we've gained to guide our thoughts and actions in the pursuit of a more just and spiritually connected world. Perhaps in that time of silence, you had an opportunity to look at how you might be able to embrace the prophetic role of being an inside-outside individual in your own life, to really find a balance between being part of established structures and offering a distinct perspective. Friends, in our shared quest for deeper spiritual understanding, we encounter a powerful intersection where spirituality and social justice converge. And this journey that leads us to really reflect upon the imperative need for penance in the midst of a world marred by war and violence. We recognize that genuine spirituality is a force that compels us to act in the face of justice. Our love for our faith goes beyond the confines of our hearts. It really extends to the world that we inhabit. Think about the Eucharist. It's a symbol of divine love and sacrifice. Right? It teaches us the importance of taking concrete steps toward healing and reconciliation, and that our faith and our spirituality should be seamlessly intertwined, motivating us to speak out against the injustices that we witness. And our spiritual practices, well, they are a source of inspiration for our actions. That's what's motivating us to advocate for peace and penance. And we can come to understand a deeper commitment, one that involves actively working to address the wounds inflicted by war and violence. Often, our faith teaches us that penance is not merely a ritual, but it's a way of life. It's a dedication to mending the brokenness of our world. Right? We often think of penance as a punishment, but a dedication to mending the brokenness of our world. And as we navigate the complex terrain of spirituality and social justice, hopefully we can remember that our faith should ignite a fire within us, compelling us to be agents of change. And our duty is to advocate for penance and reconciliation, for in doing so we embody the true essence of our spiritual journey. It's in our spiritual journey that we discover deep values: solidarity, justice, and simplicity, to name three. These virtues are intricately woven into our lives through contemplation, that practice that helps us stay connected to the church while fostering personal transformation. Solidarity, that's what calls us to stand with our fellow human beings. And it's through this contemplation that we embrace a call to become poor like Christ. We recognize our calling to become one with our fellow humans, sharing in their joys and their sorrows as if they were our own. Justice compels us to rectify the imbalances and to advocate for fairness. And in this, contemplation inspires us to explore new questions in pursuit of transformation. And it's through this practice that we find the courage to promote justice. It's through this practice that we're guided by a love that seeks the common good. And that third value, simplicity, it encourages us to shed life's unnecessary layers. And through contemplation, it reveals the richness of simplicity. That's what enables us to discover the divine in the ordinary. And we learn to find beauty and fulfillment in a minimalist existence, focusing on the core of our faith. Contemplation then becomes our sanctuary of love. It's not just a time of no noise. Contemplation invites us to embrace a positive, creative approach to renewal. And it lets us balance tradition with exploration, engaging in prayer, service, support, and meditation groups. And our aim is to engage in transformative work, both personally and for our suffering world. So contemplation, that's what strengthens our faith by deepening our connection to solidarity, justice, and simplicity. So this reflection has simply explored the intersection of those three. They're the virtues that shape our spiritual journey. So now let's quietly embrace a moment of silent meditation, that contemplative practice. And in this stillness, we can allow the wisdom we've uncovered to resonate within us, encouraging deep reflection on our role in creating a more just world. And as we find our inner peace and respond to the call of our faith, let that silence guide you toward a place of restful contemplation, where we nurture the seeds of positive change in our hearts and the world we inhabit. And think about, how does your spirituality inspire concrete actions for social justice? How can you deepen your commitment to living a life of penance and reconciliation in this world marred by war and violence? The term outside the camp. Outside the camp is a prophetic position on the edge of the inside, which is described by the early Israelites as the tent of meeting outside the camp. After tonight's session, you can do a Google search and you'll see some really interesting images of what that is believed to have looked like. And even though this tent is foldable, it's movable, it's even disposable, it's still a meeting place for the holy, which really is always on the move and out in front of us. So maybe some of you who are super creative. We'll go to your church and pitch a tent, right, on the outside of the camp. How might we maintain that same sense of prophetic freedom outside the contemporary political and religious encampments of our day? We must now avoid the temptation to become our own defended camp. It is a temptation. Now, the prophets, they exercise their imagination from that place of freedom, because the totalism that is the system wants to silence and banish or eliminate every such unwelcome prophetic intrusion. And the tricky work is to find standing ground outside the totalism from which to think the unthinkable, to imagine the unimaginable, and to utter the unutterable. The free and graced position found in the tent of meeting, that's what allowed Yeshua and all prophets in his lineage to speak from the privileged minority position. Prophecy and gospel, they're rooted in a contemplative and non-dual way of knowing, a way of being in the world that's utterly free and grounded in the compassion of God. However, our occupation and our vocation as believers in this time must be to first restore the divine center by holding it and fully occupying it ourselves. You can't give what you ain't got. And if contemplation means anything, it means that we can safeguard that little piece of you, God, inside ourselves. It's in this journey of personal spirituality we find ourselves rooted in the Christ tradition, which one author says is a better term than Christianity, right? The Christ tradition. And the term edgewalker, it resonates with us as it reflects our position at the fringes of this tradition. I believe it's nature authors that actually coined that term, edgewalker. You see, we acknowledge the pain and joy this path brings. And the concept of edgewalking, borrowed from those nature writers, that describes our journey well. It's a delicate balance between the tradition and personal experience. So perhaps, too, you are an edgewalker, really traversing the thin space where tradition meets personal revelation. And in this realm, we often feel lonely, for most of us will dwell comfortably on either side of the edge. However, those of us called to these thresholds, they recognize each other, connected by our shared liminality. And just as ecotones host rich biodiversity, our edges hold resilience. Maybe that opening video is connecting more with you now. Our edges hold resilience. And soon the edges we inhabit will reshape the center, and collaboration will be crucial. While we possess unique gifts and communities, isolation won't serve us. Our strength really does lie in diverse relationships. As we saw in the chat section earlier here in Crowdcast, the term beloved community, that is a strength of diverse relationships. And that's what reinforces our individual edges. Friends, there are mystics across religions who occupy the edges that are exemplifying the interconnectedness of spirituality and nature. We call it interbeing. Science calls it quantum entanglement. You can see all the different terms. But amid our differences, we connect as edgewalkers. And throughout history, edgewalkers have challenged the status quo, fostering an unbroken bond between spirituality and nature. And as we navigate these edges, we find unity and resilience, shaping a future where spirituality and contemplation honor all traditions. Really think, how can you maintain a sense of prophetic freedom and contemplation, non-dual knowing, in a world filled with political and religious encampments? What steps can you take to safeguard the divine center within yourself? So let's now quietly embrace a moment of silent meditation, embracing the wisdom of being edgewalkers in the Christ tradition. And as we meditate, we can let these reflections resonate within us, inviting us to reflect on unique positions and how they shape our spirituality. This is an opportunity to respond to the call of our path. It's an opportunity to rest in the stillness of contemplation and to find unity and resilience in the diverse relationships that connect us as edgewalkers in the ever-evolving landscape of spirituality and nature. Our spiritual practice this week comes from Teresa Blythe, and she's guiding us through an examination of the day in the presence of God. This is what she offers as the practice. First, you make yourself comfortable. You may even want to light a candle. That's an opportunity to signify the light of God as it illuminates your day. Then, just as we do here, rest in silence for a few minutes and ask God's Spirit to lead you through your day, to review your day. So if you could relive any one moment that brought you joy, which would it be? Hmm. What happened in that moment that made it so life-giving? Then sit with that moment and allow it to give you life again. You can call it whatever you want, a God moment, right? The presence of God. That's what we're examining in this practice. Where and how did the presence of God show up? And then once you look at this moment that brought you great joy and you wonder what happened that made it give you joy, then you allow it in your thoughts and meditations and contemplations to give you life again. Offer your gratitude to God for that moment. Now, examine if you could go back and change any one moment in your day, which would it be? What made that moment so difficult? Then sit with that moment in the light of God's love and allow yourself to feel whatever emotion you have. Then offer that moment to God for healing. After that, you might just want to simply make a note of these two moments in your day. You know, it doesn't have to be a lengthy journal article or entry. And then you simply end the practice by giving thanks to God for all the ways God has been with you through the joy and the pain. So I hope that you will try this in the coming week. Let that be an examine at the end of your day. And at this point, it's the end of our evening with our podcast and YouTube listeners. So we thank you all for tuning in. And we hope that you will come join us on Crowdcast so that you can become part of the dialogue and conversation that happens next. And until then, remember that love is the way, that you are love. So stay awesome and be love, and we hope to see you again soon.